Okay, fun seekers, are you ready? Are you ready to learn how to lose tremendous sums of... No, I'm sorry. Take advantage of a stock price going down. No, stick with us, right? We're going to discuss selling short, something that I hope you never do personally, but it's your money. But I don't want you to lose it. I know. I had a friend, I still have a friend, but he was shorting stocks during the run-up in the housing prices because he was sure that it was a bubble. We both agreed it was a bubble. And I begged and pleaded him not to do this. He was absolutely right. He was just too soon. Other people did it at the right time and made tremendous sums of money, but others lost tremendous sums of money. So with that introduction, let's get started discussing selling short. And before we do that, let's take a look at what purchasing long is, a long purchase, long stock purchases. It's a silly name, but it's what we've been talking about all semester long. A long purchase, going long, buying long, a long position. These all mean the same thing. This is a transaction in which investors buy securities in the hope that they will increase in value and can be sold at a later date for profit. And this is the type of transaction that people commonly think of when they hear that someone bought stock. Buying long is the most common form of transaction. It's the expectation of dividends or capital appreciation or both. Buy low, sell high, right? Why do we have to come up with a name called long? Are you long? Are you buying long? Are you in a long position? Well, because there's an opposite way. There's an opposite. And that's called, I'm sorry, let's first take a look at the long purchase example on slide number 19. You purchase one share of common stock for $20 and the market price rises to $30. Congratulations, you made $10 on a $20 investment. That's a 50% increase. Of course, if the price dropped to $10, you lost $10 or half of your investment, a 50% decrease. So this is what people think of when they think of buying a stock. I bought a stock and it went up 50%. Yeah, I bought a stock and it went down 50%. Okay, you were long. But there's another way to do this, and that is called selling short. And folks, you're going to love this. Oh, I just know it. Again, we're teaching you this so that you are protected against anybody telling you otherwise. Short selling, selling the short, shorting the stock, going short, or just simply short. Are you short? Yeah, I'm short this one stock. Is the sale of borrowed securities, in this case, we're talking about stocks, their eventual repurchase by the short seller and the return to the lender. So instead of borrowing money when we did buying on margin in the previous presentation, we're borrowing stock. It's the opposite. Selling short is the opposite of buying long. You are hoping that the price goes down. Instead of buy low, sell high, you're trying to sell high, buy low. So you can do it in either way. You can buy low and sell high, that's long. Or you can sell high and buy low. Shorting stock, selling short, must take place in a margin account. Since you are borrowing stock, you sell from the brokerage firm. You're not borrowing cash in this instance. You're borrowing stock. So they're going to do a credit check. You're going to fill out the form. You're going to click here to say you understand all the crazy things that you have no idea that they can do to you when you do this. But that's what's going to happen. So here's how it works, right? You borrow the stock from another shareholder. Now, they don't know that you're borrowing the shares from them. The brokerage firm takes care of all that sleight of hand. And you sell it on the open market. You receive money for selling stock that you do not own. Doesn't that sound as if it should be illegal? I mean, that's the first reaction I certainly had when I heard about it. I said, that doesn't sound legal. You wait for the stock price to go down. So you've already sold the shares that you didn't own. You wait for the stock price to go down, and then you buy back the shares at a lower price, pocketing the difference. Now, again, the shareholder you borrowed the shares from, they don't know that you borrowed them. They, the brokerage firm takes care of all the accounting. Oh, by the way, right? You must pay any dividends the company declares to the investor who bought the shares that you sold short. Why? Because the shares are now in somebody else's hands. And although the investor thinks they own it, they're actually gone. They've been lent out. Now the brokerage firm's going to take care of everything, but they're going to charge you for the dividends that the company would have paid the other individual whose shares were sold short, because you know they're expecting to get their dividends, right? So when you buy long, you receive the dividends. When you sell short, you have to pay the dividends. And again, it sure sounds illegal, but guess what? It's perfectly legal. It's been happening for hundreds of years. And there are many people, there's a lot of controversy over it. There are many people who say we should not even allow selling short to happen. They're not going to win. It's going to continue. Economists will say, oh, this is, we need short selling because it's a guard against stock prices rising too high. These short sellers are knocking down the price. But then again, at the same time, they're making money off other people's misery. And when the misery is out there on the streets, they're out there ready to knock down the price. There was quite a bit of give and take and controversy and acrimonial recriminations between the short sellers of Tesla, and it's still going on, and the CEO of Tesla, who should have known better, but he didn't. He can't keep his mouth shut. People were shorting Tesla, saying the company's going to go bankrupt. And they were, you know, close to being right. Tesla almost went bankrupt. But in the meantime, they didn't. They became very profitable, and now they're very profitable. And now those short sellers lost tremendous sums of money, as we'll see how that works. So here's a graphic that may help. Here's today. Today, you borrow the shares from somebody and you sell shares in the market. So you get money today that you sold shares, but they're not your shares because eventually you have to buy them back. You have to buy them back and return the shares. If the price goes down, you've made money. If the price goes up, you've lost money. It's the opposite of buying long. And let's make an example that may make sense. If not, just ignore the next couple of minutes or so. You live next to two guys, Fred and Charlie. Fred and Charlie. Fred's on your left and Charlie's on your right. And Fred just bought this gorgeous new riding lawnmower for $500. And you know tomorrow it's going to go on sale for $250. So you borrow it from Fred. Can I borrow your mower, Fred? And he says, okay. And then you go over to Charlie and say, Charlie, I know you were in the market for one of these riding lawnmowers. I bought it brand new. I'm not going to use it. Will you buy it from me for $500? And Charlie goes, oh, okay, I guess so. So you sell it to him for $500, pocketing the cash, and then tomorrow when it goes on sale, you run down, buy it for $250, and keep it. You see how that works? You're trying to see the stock price go down. Of course, if it goes up, they raise the price the next day, you got to buy it back at a higher price. Right? It's the opposite of what we normally think of when we want to buy low, sell high. We want to buy high, sell low. Did I say that right? Yeah, I did. Okay. I'm sorry. Sell high. I didn't say it right. You buy low, sell high, but then you switch them. Sell high, buy low. Okay, so I did mess it up. I caught myself. It's tricky, isn't it? Yeah. So here's an example on slide 23. You sell a stock short for $20. You receive $20 from the sale of the stock. Remember, the stock wasn't yours. You borrowed it from somebody else. The stock price goes down to $10. You buy back the stock at $10, closing out the transaction. And that's the terminology they're going to use. You want to close out the transaction? Yes, yes, Mr. Broker. Yes, Ms. Broker. You give the stock back to the person you borrowed it from, and you get to keep the $10 difference. What a deal! You just made $10 on a $0 investment. No, no, no. It doesn't work that way. You did well because the stock price went down, but no, you don't get to make $10 on a $0 investment. It's a margin account. Remember, you borrowed the stock that you sold. The rules for a margin account still apply. You must deposit at least 50%. And you're thinking, 50% of what? 50% of what you borrowed. What? You must deposit 50% of the proceeds from the sale of the borrowed stock, the stock that you borrowed. You have to come up with 50% of whatever it was that you borrowed. The brokerages, again, use the account balance sheet to keep track of the investor's margin. So we'll take a look at the accounting. I know it's a little tricky, but you can't just say, okay, I want to borrow these shares and then make money. They're going to make you deposit 50% of what you borrowed. So here's the same example. Revisit it. You sell a stock short for $20. You receive $20 from the sale of the stock, even though the stock was not yours. You borrowed it from somebody else, but this time the price goes up to $40. You must buy it back at $40. Remember, you borrowed it. You must replace it in some future date. You must buy it back. You have no choice. You buy a stock long, you can hang on to it forever, right? Keep getting your dividend payments and the stock price goes up. But when you sell a stock short, it's typically a shorter term endeavor. You've got to replace it. You must buy it back. And you lost $20 on your short transaction because you sold it for $20. Now you have to buy it back at $40. When you buy long, you can only lose the purchase price of the stock. You buy a stock for $20, it goes to zero, you lost $20. I mean, that's it. Once the stock's reached $0, it can't go any lower. But when you sell short, there is no limit to the amount of money you can lose. Theoretically, right? Theoretically, because it's a margin account, they're going to come after you. They're going to say, you got a margin call, you got to come up with more cash, or close out the transaction. Why? Because there's no limit to the price a high stock can go. The price can always go higher. So it's very, very dangerous, folks. I'm pleading with you. I'm trying to get you to understand that this is dangerous. Selling short is dangerous. And often people don't realize how much they can lose, as we're going to see when we take a look at this example later on. And there's a saying in Wall Street, it's kind of cutesy, I don't know. I would rather it disappeared because we don't have debtors' prisons anymore. But it's this idea that he who sells what isn't his'n must buy it back or go to prison. Right? We don't have debtors' prisons anymore. But it's a truism that you got to buy it back or the amount you can lose is just incredible. And there was this one story about a very wealthy investor during the dot-com craze of the late 90s who kept shorting the tech stocks. And they just kept rising and rising and rising. And supposedly it was over $100 million that this guy lost. And he went bankrupt. And then it was the Schwab broker had to make good on it. And if he had just been able to hold out, until the dot-com bubble burst, he would have made out like a bandit. And remember the saying from Sir John Maynard Keynes, the market can stay irrational longer than you can stay solvent. He was discussing short sellers. Short sellers were saying, look at these prices, they're way too high. And they were shorting stocks and they were losing money. Why? Because the price kept going higher. We know this to be true, that manias happen and people just keep bidding up the price until the crash happens. And if you can hold out until the crash happens and you're short, great, you're going to do well, but you might not be able to hold out. The market can stay irrational longer than you can stay solvent. So here's the account balance sheet that hopefully will make life a little bit easier. I don't know. Some of you hate accounting, and I don't blame you. But you sell short 100 shares at $100. And as we said back in the previous presentation, I don't know if they still use these on the Series 7. I can't imagine what they would have replaced them with. But it's all computerized now. You sell short 100 shares at $100. So you receive $10,000 from the share of the stock. But you've got to deposit at least 50%. They're not going to allow you to just, you know, do this without coming up with half the amount. That's part of the deal with the margin account. So you have to come up with $5,000. And the formula changes to account margin equals account equity divided by the short position. So the $5,000 of equity, because remember you came up with $5,000, is divided by the short position or $10,000, what you received from the sale of the stock, and it turns out, whoa, sorry, what did I do? I got to this mouth. I gotta get a much less sensitive mouse. My apologies. So what's the account equity? The account equity is 5,000. What's the short position? 10,000. So you take 5,000 divided by 10,000, and that's 50%. Well, that's the initial margin requirement. You had to come up with 50% of the proceeds, or they wouldn't let you do the transaction. So now if the stock price falls to $80, the short position falls to 8,000. See, over here, this side doesn't change it unless you come up with more cash. You initially deposited 5,000. You sold the shares already at $100 a share, so that doesn't change either. But over here, it does change. If the stock price falls to $80, your short position will fall to 8,000, 100 shares times $80. And so your account equity will rise to 7,000. Look at that margin, from 50% up to almost 90%, 87.5%. The short position fell, the account equity rose, you made money because the stock price fell. Well done. But what happens if the stock price rises to 120? Your short position rises to 12,000, 100 shares times 120. This side, again, does not change unless you come up with more cash. And so the short position now is 12,000. Your account equity is 3,000. 3,000 divided by 12,000 is 25%. Your brokerage set the maintenance margin at 30 or 35%. You're going to get a margin call. And so you have to buy back these shares now, or you got to come up with more money. Yeah, don't do it. How much did you lose? A lot here, because now you have to buy these things back at $12,000, and your $5,000 is only going to cover 7% of that, 5,000 of that. Yeah, don't do it, folks. Don't do it. You got to come up with more cash, right? I think you got to come up with a lot more cash. Because to close out this transaction, you got to buy these things back at $12,000. Ooh, 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 don't do it. You can lose a lot of money shorting, folks. The margin call price level. Notice how in the previous slide, your stock only had to rise 20% for you to get a margin call. Selling short is very risky, folks. The brokerage firm is going to keep a close eye on you, and you may buy back the shares without consulting you. They might say, oh, too late, you lost too much money. But if you don't have to listen to me, you take it from Peter Lynch. We already said Peter Lynch, who racked up 29% per year as a mutual fund manager of the Fidelity Magellan Fund. Who's going to argue with Peter Lynch? I'm not. He says, never short a stock. Or just better yet, here's the poor slob I was referring to. Follow this link to this article about this guy who went from about $37,000 plus overnight to owing his brokerage firm $106,000. He had a short on a very poor stock. The stock was selling for $2 or something like that, or 2 cents or whatever. It was selling for very little, and he figured it was going to fall into the porcelain oasis. He figured the stock was going to become worthless. Instead, overnight, it was bought by another company, and the stock price zoomed up like 5-10 fold. And he went from having $37,000 in his account to owing $106,000. And unless he declares bankruptcy or splits, leaves the country, he's on the hook for this $106,000. Now, if he does declare bankruptcy or he leaves the country, basically skips out, the brokerage firm has to make good on the deal. Your brokerage firm's going to watch you like a hawk if you sell short. So don't do it. Just don't do it. Now, there is a couple of things about selling short that we prudent long-term investors may take advantage of, if only to make ourselves feel better, or maybe we might make a transaction on this. It's called a short squeeze. Another mistake I have to fix, slide 31. When a stock or the market as a whole is going down, momentum speculators will often short stocks to try to take advantage of the downward momentum. This pushes the stock or the stock market down even further. I like to think of it like a spring. You're pushing down on a spring. But eventually, right, the short sales must all be repurchased. They cannot stay there forever unless the company goes bankrupt, and in case the whole stock issue just disappears. The subsequent up movement of the market is often dramatic as short sellers cover their positions. It's called a short squeeze. And so sometimes the market will drop, 2, 3%, and everybody jumps around and screams, what are we going to do? So just wait a few days. And all of a sudden, bingo, it jumps back up again, either the whole market or an individual stock, because the short sellers have to cover their positions. And you'll hear people talk about the short squeeze. The short interest is the amount of stock shares that are sold short. And this is available, in the free websites, and of course your broker. They'll tell you how many shares are sold short. And if you see that a great percentage, 30, 40% of the shares are sold short, then you know that that these short sellers believe that the stock price is going to fall. And there may be a short squeeze. There may not be. You don't know. Maybe the stock is going to disappear. But this is what happened with the meme stocks and the GameStop and the like. A lot of short sellers had piled into this stock, knocking the price down and down and down, figuring the company is going to go out of business. Because GameStop really, really did have it rough, folks. They were losing market share to the online gaming companies. And so they were reinventing themselves. And they had created these events, like Chuck E. Cheese for teenagers and younger folks. They would have game parties with a lot of people in one area, feed them food and let them play games. And it was starting to do well, and then COVID hit. Poor GameStop can't win for losing. And then of course the stock fell. So the short sellers piled on. And then the meme folks on Reddit all got together. By the way, that's illegal. You get together and say we're all going to buy this stock to make it go up. But that's only when there's like 5 people or 10 people doing it. When you got 5 million people doing it, how's the Securities and Exchange Commission going to deal with that? I don't know. Obviously, they don't know either because nobody did anything. And that's when the organic matter hit the vending device and the brokerage firms specifically. Robinhood couldn't keep up with all the transactions, and then the young folks yelled at Robinhood and said, "You betrayed us." And they said, "No, we were just in trouble. We couldn't do it. There's a limit to how much we can handle." So watch the short interest of a stock and see if investors are piling in, not investors, traders, speculators, and trying to knock the stock down, because it might mean that there's going to be a short squeeze. In August of 2002, this is a little personal story, short interest was the highest it had ever been in the history of the United States stock markets. This was, 3 years, almost 3 years into the dot-com bursting of the bubble. That gave me personally, great comfort, because to me it signaled that the long market downturn was close to an end. And I didn't know when. It turned out it was October of 2002, but it still wasn't until about March when things started popping back up again. So it's not really that useful to us, but it's something that we can follow and see. And sort of course, for prudent long-term investors, you stay away from that craziness, the meme stocks and the like. It's just it's pure speculation, which is what selling short is. It's pure speculation. Now, there actually, believe it or not, slide 32, there used to be a valid reason for shorting a stock. It was called shorting against the box. And don't ask me why. It's a dumb name. But it was shorting stock that you already owned. Now, wait a minute. Why would you do that? Why would you short a stock that you already owned? Borrow the stock from somebody else and sell it, and then turn around and deliver the shares that you already owned. Well, it allowed you to essentially sell the stock without creating the taxable transaction until you closed out the transaction with your own stock. So, for example, you could sell the stock short in December, receive the money, and then deliver your shares in January, effectively postponing the taxes for another year. Well, the IRS removed this loophole in 1997. There is absolutely no legitimate legitimate. There's absolutely no legitimate reason for selling short except for pure D. dangerous speculation, says I. Other people, they're going to get a different point of view, who say, no, Payano doesn't know what he's talking about. That company is in deep kimchi, deep trouble, short the stock. And there was one time in my life when I actually thought about shorting a stock, and that was 2006, and I was thinking of shorting GM personally. I thought, this company's in deep trouble. They couldn't make any money off of cars. They were making all their money selling SUVs, and they couldn't make any money off of cars. I thought, okay, next recession comes by, they're going to get hammered because SUVs were very expensive compared to cars, and I just thought they were going to, and they did. It turned out I was right, but I just listened to Peter Lynch, and I also don't like the idea of selling short because you're basically saying you want the company to go bad. You want the company to do badly, and I want all, okay, this can't be true. You know, all companies can't prosper and be prosperous, but it's a little, you know, personal thought of mine. I want all companies to do well, except for Microsoft. But that's a whole other story. I'm just so angry at Windows. GM was in deep trouble, and they were talking about bankruptcy. They're paying a tremendous dividend at the same time. And the gentleman who was the CEO, I forget his name, Bob Lutz, was it? Kept saying, all this talk about bankruptcy, I want it to stop. Stop talking about bankruptcy. And whenever you hear that, that's a bad sign. That means they're trying to convince people that it's not really going to happen. And, of course, it did happen. But I didn't do it. I didn't short the stock. I listened to Peter Lynch. So there's my personal story about short. I've never shorted a stock, never done it. I don't think I ever will. And it's up to you. Okay, so one last time. Doesn't this stuff interest you folks? Oh, it's fascinating, I think. Even though it's scary, shorting stocks and buying on margin and options and futures and all the other things that can make us poor very quickly. But the industry needs you. I'm going to ask one last time, maybe another time, that we need more women and minorities, more bilingual, ex-military. They love ex-military. Remember, there are many positions, but the stockbroker position is actually called a registered representative. That's the legal term. And you have to take the Series 7, and you have to be sponsored. So they're going to do a background check. They're going to make sure you haven't had any shenanigans with other people's money. The Series 7 is difficult. It's a six-hour exam, and it takes about 2 months of studying, 1 to 2 hours a day. Other people have taken it in a much shorter period of time, but they crammed and took, studied 4 or 5 hours a day. I don't know how they did that, but they did. And then the other one, the Series 63, and then some people take the 66, depending on their brokerage. That's much easier. It's an hour. It takes about 2 weeks of studying. That's what I did, about 2 weeks of studying, about 1 to 2 hours a day. And then, as we said, you must be sponsored by a brokerage firm. And so many brokerage firms were reticent to hire someone until they know they could pass the Series 7. So for this reason, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, who oversees the brokerage firms and the brokers, now offers an exam that you don't have to be sponsored for. It's called the Securities Industries Essential Exam. And we've already talked about this, folks. We want you to take it. Much of the stuff you're learning now, you have to learn a bunch of other stuff about compliance, which is stuff you'll forget very quickly, but you just look up if you need to. And some other things that we didn't really cover, maybe limited partnerships and the like. But it's not that hard if you study. If you study those options, those buying on margin, the shorting. In this chapter, we have a worksheet just like as we had with options. And you'll see the questions are a little tricky, but if you do them enough times, it's okay. You won't zig when you should have zagged. And the cool thing about the Securities Industry Essentials is $60, as I remember, and you don't need to be sponsored. And FINROC gives you a sample exam. And if you do take it, you're going to want to pick up one of these programs or go to the library and pick up one of these books that have these practice exams. You do the practice exams over and over and over again, and sure enough, you'll figure it out. And of course, you contact me if you need help. I'm happy to help you. I really am, because we want you out there in the industry. The industry needs you. I'm serious. So, one last... I was supposed to add a final comment on buying on margin and shorting. Don't do it, right? I didn't add that slide. Just remember we did the options Don't, you know, stay away from options, stay away from futures. Same thing. Stay away from buying on margin. Stay away from selling the shorts. Don't do it. And we're done with securities. Those are the secure, we have covered all the different types of financial assets. We will now take a look at non-financial assets, such as precious metal, art, and collectibles. And we'll also look at some others as we finish up this semester. But dear students, once again, we're proud of you. We are so, so proud of you. Don't give up. Never give up. We're almost there. We're almost there. Thank you so much for being in our class. In our next chapter, we'll take a look at gold. Gold. It's a terrible investment. See you in our next chapter on precious metal, art, and collectibles.